sing this with us.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace.
Good morning. I promise not to drop anything right here. I'm going to hold on to everything real tight. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day. It is raining outside, but we are knowing that God is growing the earth with these raindrops. So it is good to gather in the house in a dry place this morning to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're glad that you gathered here to worship with us this morning. If you are a guest with us, thank you for coming and joining us for worship. There are visitors' cards in your pew and sitting in front of you. You can place those in the offering plate as they're passed a little bit later in the worship service this morning, just so we can have a record of your visit. There are many other opportunities coming up in the life of our church. A few that I wanted to point out this morning in our time of worship this morning. Ladies, I did want to remind you that tonight you're wrapping up your spring Bible study. Tonight at 5 p.m. upstairs in the Truth Seeker Sunday School class at 5 p.m. you'll be finishing up your Bible study that's being led by Leslie Cornell. I know you're looking forward to that, so join her tonight at 5 o'clock upstairs. Youth will begin our summer intensity study tonight at 5 p.m. upstairs as well. That'll include a meal as a part of that, so I know they're looking forward to that as well. I also want to remind you on behalf of the pastor search team that today is the last Sunday to turn in your pastor search surveys. Many of them have come in. I saw many of them were placed in the basket this morning as well. On behalf of the pastor search team, thank you for turning those surveys in. If you have not returned those this morning and you say, "Ooh, I forgot to bring it this morning," please get them to the office this week sometime. Janice and myself will be in the office this week. Gay's going to be out of town this week up in West Virginia, but you can drop those off in the office, and we will make sure they get to the pastor search team. But they do want to thank you in advance for your input on those surveys. Also want to point out in your bulletin, you will notice that in a couple weeks, 2 weeks from today, on Sunday, June 23rd, we will have a special called business meeting immediately following the worship service. This will take only about 2 or 3 minutes. We have to vote on our deacon nominating team. This is something that we do every June. The names are listed in your bulletin for those names that are being nominated for the deacon nominating team. So you can look at those names, but on Sunday, June 23rd, immediately following worship service for 2 minutes, we'll have a special call business meeting to vote on those names. I'll also go ahead and let you know that Sunday on the 23rd and on the 30th, you will have an insert in your bulletin that will have an opportunity for you to write down some names of individuals in our church that you might think might serve well in the role of a deacon. So prayerfully consider those in our congregation today in the coming weeks. That will assist that team as they continue to work in that process of seeking out deacons for this upcoming year. You will see a list of names of the current deacons that are currently serving. You will also see the names of the deacons that will be rotating off. So just be in prayer for this team, be in prayer for this process, and be in prayer that maybe you might be an individual that might be asked to serve as a deacon in this upcoming year. It is a special calling. It is a wonderful opportunity to serve the body of Christ. That is what a deacon is. So be in prayer for that team and come out on Sunday, June 23rd for worship and that special call business meeting. You will also notice more information in your newsletter and your bulletin of things coming up in the near future. So please stay attuned for those ministry highlights as well. As we begin our time of worship this morning, we turn to our opening scripture passage, which comes from the very first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, the very first couple verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So we reflect on God's presence today as he was hovering over the waters in the beginning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, just as you hovered over the waters as creation was formed, as you breathed life into being, you are breathing life into this place this morning. This opportunity to worship, this opportunity to celebrate who you are as our creator, not just creator of us, but the creator of worship, the opportunity to lift up praise to you. Father, that's why you created us. That's why in Genesis 1, you breathed life into existence. And Father, just as creation exclaims who you are, we come today in this time of worship as we read your word, as we lift song up to you, as we lift this prayer up to you, as we reflect on your word, as we listen to Norman's message in just a few minutes, we come to proclaim who you are. You are our creator. You are the giver of life. And we come here to give you thanks. That is what true worship is. Father, we lift this prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, Come Thou Fount, Come Thou King.
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call the songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming grave. I was lost in utter darkness till you came and rescued me. I was bound by all my sin when your joy came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me, and I'll never be alone. Come Thou Fount, come Thy King, come Thy precious Prince of Peace. In your bride to you we sing, come the fount of our blessing. Come the fount, come the King, come thy precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride to you we sing, come the fount of our blessing. To grace, how great a debtor daily I am slain to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter by my wandering heart to be. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. take and seal it. Seal it for the courts above. Come the vow, come the king, come thy precious prince of peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come the fount of our blessing. Come the fount, come the King. Come the precious Prince of Peace. Hear your bride, to you we sing. Come the fount of our blessing.
You may be seated.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm here to tell you about wonderful Wednesdays, but I am going to tell you most of you cannot come. This is going to be our summer activity for our children. And we're going to meet on Wednesday night, starting on January. That's good, Paula. June the 19th, and we're going to meet throughout the summer. And from 5:30 until 7, if you look at your bulletin today, it says 6 to 7. But we decided today in a children's team meeting to start at 5:30 because we're going to feed them supper each night. So if you have children in your household, in your family, in your neighborhood, that you think would enjoy coming for an hour and a half on Wednesday nights throughout the summer, we're going to have a lesson for them each night. We're going to have arts and crafts. We're going to have some outside time. Of course, we're going to have a little snack supper before we get started. We are also going to do the word that most children love, field trips. Okay. So, and if you all really ask and really want to come, we'll let you come too, especially if you're willing to help with the children, okay? But so we're going to start that on the 19th. You'll be getting some emails and some more information about it. But as we go into this, please be in prayer for this activity as we reach out to our church families and to our community with an activity for our children to do. Thank you.
One thing that we do need for this first activity, if you have any empty paper towel holders, the cardboard part, we do need some. The tubes, yeah, that's, I'll get the right after all y'all's help. I don't know what is wrong. I'm just dropping everything. I can't think this morning. I don't know what's wrong this morning. I'm all nervous this morning. Norman, I don't know what he's done to me, but I'm all nervous this morning.
I
got to blame somebody, right? Blame Norman. we do need some of those. If you have any that you just finished up your paper towels, bring them in this week or next Sunday. We could use some. We're going to make a little craft activity with the roll part of it. Our offertory hymn this morning is Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Let's stand, let's worship together.
Breathe on me, breath.
us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the quiet breath that you breathe in us to lead us in the right path. Thank you for Norman for the guidance and leadership he can provide. We thank you for David and Gay and all the extra work they are doing for our church. We pray for our church and ask that you lead us in the directions you know is best. We ask that you bless these gifts and the givers. Amen.
Maybe seated.
This morning, our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, reading verses 15, 16, and 17. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
His witness through believers' walls. Let's pray. Loving God, we pray that you will open our hearts that we may feel the breath and play of your Spirit. We pray that you would unclench our hands that we might reach out to one another and touch and be healed. We pray that you would open our lips that we may drink in the delight and the wonder of life in your wonderful creation. Father, we pray that you would unstop our ears to hear your agony in our inhumanity. Open our eyes so that we may see Christ in friend and in stranger. Breathe your Spirit into us and touch our lives with the very life of Christ. O Holy Spirit of God, fill us with confidence and make us available for your work, telling others about the wonders of God. And we make our prayer in the name of Christ Jesus, who is Lord. Amen. Being Pentecost Sunday, Acts 2 is the scripture passage we'll be reading. In fact, I'll let you know, in the coming months, we'll be zipping through the book of Acts, and so you can read ahead. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. And now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word this morning. You know, there are some days when everything changes for the rest of our lives. Graduation, marriage, the birth of a child, the start of a new job. That day is a defining moment that shapes who you are and where you are going in your life and how you live each day. The same is true in history. For us Americans, it was July the 4th, 1776, or maybe December 7, 1941, or as we remembered this week, June 6, 1944, or how about September 11, 2001? It's not that the date itself is important, and it's not what really matters. It is that date, that day, that marks a turning point in history. And that's the way it was on the day of Pentecost, reported in Acts chapter 2. It was a one-of-a-kind day when everything changed forever for the followers of Jesus. Verse 1, appropriately printed on the front of your bulletin, sets the stage for one of the greatest days in history. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. The word Pentecost means 50. Pentecost was and still is an annual Jewish festival that comes 50 days after the Jewish feast of Passover. It had a double historic meaning. Pentecost, you remember, commemorated the day when Moses met God on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, which was believed to be 50 days after the children of Israel left Egypt. There, God talked to Moses, and there was thunder, and there was lightning, and there was smoke. Pentecost was also the Jewish Thanksgiving Day. It marked the end of the harvest, and it was sometimes called the Feast of Harvest. It was also called the Feast of Weeks because the harvest began at Passover and lasted 50 days. It was a week of weeks, that is, 7 weeks, 7 days, plus one, the Festival of Weeks. Pentecost was one of the required Jewish holidays. Every male Jew living within 20 miles was required to come to Jerusalem for Pentecost. However, we read that thousands of Jews from all over the ancient world were there. These Jews were called the diaspora. It referred to the way they had been dispersed throughout the provinces of the Roman Empire. Because the weather was better at Pentecost in June rather than Passover in April, it was easier for people to travel. Therefore, there were more people there. People got the day off, so they all came for Pentecost. Scripture says when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They. Who was they? They were the 120 followers of Jesus who had been on a 10-day prayer campaign, a prayer meeting in a large room in a Jerusalem mansion ever since Jesus ascended back to heaven. Jesus had told them, you remember, that the Holy Spirit would be coming upon them, but they didn't know when, they didn't know what to expect, and their lives were forever changed by unexpected sound and sight and speech. Acts verse 2 says, Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Like a thunderstorm, like a hurricane, like a tornado. Their prayers were drowned out. They couldn't hear each other talk. It wasn't a storm on the outside of the house, but something supernatural that filled the space where they were. Not a wind, but something like a wind. Powerful, violent, but it wasn't frightening. It was wonderful. It was like the blowing of a violent wind that can knock down trees and blow over buildings and sail ships and power generators, loud and strong and irresistible and powerful. And I think powerful is the right word. It was supernaturally powerful. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. With the sound of the wind came the sight of fire. It was at like the ceiling. The ceiling was lapped in flames by a giant fiery tongue. And that tongue split into 120 flames and came to settle on each person in that house. Imagine a huge campfire filled with this roaring flame that rises and splits into all of these different parts, and it comes to rest on each person sitting around the campfire. Except they weren't hurt. They weren't burned. It wasn't terrifying. It wasn't painful. It was exhilarating. It wasn't actual fire. It wasn't actual tongues. But that was the closest comparison that they knew how to make. That's the only way they could explain what was happening. They were hearing and seeing a miracle, the supernatural presence of God Himself. Just like when Moses met God on Mount Sinai. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, Scripture says. You see, the Holy Spirit of God not only came into the room, it came into the people, the 120 followers of Jesus Christ who were gathered there. There are no adequate words to express and explain what happened. Their bodies and their souls were saturated with the presence of God. I've been trying to think of a way to explain that, and I can't. It's sort of like, though, the best and the warmest and the fullest and the happiest feeling you can remember in your life. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. There was an awareness of the presence of God, and they were invigorated, and they were empowered, and they were overwhelmed. And when they talked, they experienced a miracle of speech. They could speak in foreign languages that they didn't know. They'd never studied. They had no idea. But they did it. There was no way to explain this either, except it was a miracle. Just like those early miracles of changing water into wine, or giving speech to the speechless, or sight to the sightless, or life to the lifeless, the dead. Just imagine, friends, if right here and right now we heard the wind and we saw the fire and we felt the Spirit, and all of a sudden we all started speaking German and French and Spanish and Creole and Portuguese. Wouldn't it be exciting? Wouldn't it be exciting? Their excitement and their wonder was beyond description. And so what did they do? They burst out of that house and into the streets and down to the market and over to the temple. And there they encountered visitors from everywhere. And now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears, we hear them in our own language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Now, of course, when Luke wrote that, the people in the streets were God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. He wasn't talking about the Chinese or the Navajos or Hawaiians or anybody else. What he was talking about were the people and provinces around the Roman Empire where the Jews lived then. Now, most of the 120 believers in Christ, it's hard for us to think about that, but after 3 years, there was only 120 of them. Read chapter 1 of Acts, you'll see that. These 120 Jews, most of them were from the northern province of Galilee. Around Jerusalem, they were thought of as the Hicks. You could tell. They were easily identified by the way they dressed, their manners, their accent. They weren't very sophisticated people, and they were quite unlikely to have mastered any foreign languages. But they were speaking fluently in the language of the Parthians, the Medes, and the Elamites. These were residents of Mesopotamia, peoples between the Caspian Sea and modern Turkey. They were speaking in the language of the Cappadocians, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia. These were the five areas that made up what is now modern Turkey. They were speaking in the language of Judea, the province around Jerusalem, and they were speaking in the language of Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, which is northern Africa. And they were speaking in the language of the Romans, the Cretans, and the Arabs, and that's the same group we know today. All these people, these other people, probably knew some Hebrew and some Greek, some Aramaic, and some Latin, but not the Galileans. And so they were absolutely stunned when these Hicks from Galilee were talking to them in their own native languages. And so it's no wonder a crowd gathered. It was no wonder they were bewildered. There is no wonder that they listened. If we would just listen. What they heard in their own languages was believers in Jesus Christ talking about the wonders of God. They were telling about Jesus, about his miracles, about the crucifixion and the resurrection. They were talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of sin and about eternal life and what God had done for them individually and as a group, and what God would do for those who were listening to their voices. The excitement was over the top, and at the same time, it was thrilling, bewildering, confusing, and fantastic. Can you only imagine? Verse 12 says, "Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?'" And that was exactly the right question. The sound and the sight and the speech were unprecedented. What happened was public and it was historic. But what did it mean? Some thought it was funny. Verse 13 says, "Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.'" The Greek word is actually glucose, which means sweet new wine. How sad. These observers confused the Holy Spirit with getting drunk. You know, there are often people who stand in the very presence of God and totally miss the Spirit. These people were mistaken. It was 9 a.m. They had been praying, not drinking. It wasn't spirits. It was the Holy Spirit. But still, what did it mean? What does it mean? It means the Spirit of God is absolutely real. It means the Spirit is powerful and supernatural. It means the Spirit is surprising. We never know when He's going to show. It means the Spirit is global because of all the people from all those provinces around Jerusalem were there. It means the Holy Spirit fills us to empower us to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ in our day and in our place. We are to go out of this place and into the streets and into the marketplaces and tell others of the wonders of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It means that a new day has come, the church of Jesus Christ. You know, the external manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the wind and the fire and the speech, they proclaim that spiritual renewal originates with God. There is not a human spiritual leader in this world who can bring about renewal. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit brings renewal. And we need to be praying for the movement of the Spirit in each one of us to renew this church. Amen. All right, say it once in a while. I was here 13 years. I think I heard it twice. Wake up. Let the Spirit speak. There was never, ever a day like Pentecost. Never before and never, ever again. It was a once upon a time event. Once upon a time. Like Christmas. Like Easter. It's never going to happen again. But it was a one-time event that changed the world forever. I want what they experienced. Don't you? I want the wind to blow. I want the room to shake and to fill with fire and the Spirit to fill all of us so miracles can happen. But you know what? Spirit doesn't do what I want. The Spirit does what the Spirit wants, and that is the perfect will of God. That's what we need to pray for. The will of God for us individually and us corporately as First Baptists. The Spirit doesn't repeat Pentecost like TV reruns. The Spirit is fresh and new every time. The sound, the sight, and the speech of Pentecost were quite unusual, but the presence and the power and the excitement and the courage were not. The Spirit is always powerful, always present, always different, and the Spirit is still surprising us today if we would just recognize Him. You know, friends, if you are a baptized believer in Jesus Christ as the Son of God who came to save you from your sins, you have the Holy Spirit. You don't have to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You already have Him. What you need to do is start recognizing that you have Him and let Him work through you to continue his great ministry in the world, to share the wonders of what God is still doing in and around this world. That's what we are to do as believers in Christ in the 21st century, and as members of this church, we are to gather as those first century Christians did. We are to pray as they prayed. We are to believe as they believed. We are to wait for the Spirit to move as they did, and we are to welcome the Spirit, whether it's subtle or spectacular, sooner or later. And so my prayer today is that the Holy Spirit would do his great thing in his way in us today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the lives of all believers. And we pray that as believers, that we would respond to the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we would rely on him as our guide, our comfort, and our power to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ in our day. Spirit of God, renew us that we might do great things for you. And Lord, if there be one in our midst today who desires to confess Christ as Savior and Lord and follow in believers' baptism, we pray that they would come today and share that good news with the rest of us. We pray that as members of this church, we would recommit ourselves to following the guidance of the Spirit in our lives, that we would be renewed and recommitted to the life of our church. If there be one in our midst today who would desire to join in this fellowship by statement, by letter from a like church, we welcome them in the name of Christ. And we make our prayer in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you come if you have a decision to make today as we sing together?